I thought of this the other day when I was thinking of how do we do this, right? How do we avoid the one-size-fits-all approach? And how do we get to a place where an agreement is going to reflect an individualized approach? And how do we do it in a time-efficient manager? Manner. Excuse me, I've already had an IPA, apparently. So if we're here for Mike's speech, I'm going to make fun of him for at least the next 30 minutes. So I was a journalism major at the University of Texas. And I remember in my very first class, they really hammered the five W's and the H, right? When you're writing a news story, no matter how short or how long, you're wanting to address all of these things. This is how you write a compelling news piece. You want to know who's involved, okay? Who's being terminated? Is it a high-level executive? Is it a person who just started a few weeks ago? Do they work in a department that has the secret sauce? Are they a person who is highly litigious, very well connected in the community? Do they have a relationship with investors? Okay. Who is the person that's being terminated or whose lawsuit you're resolving? Now, if you're dealing with it at the time you're already in a lawsuit, you probably know a lot more about this person and you're more sensitized to it. But really thinking about the actual person or persons involved in the situation is going to help with that individualized approach. What's going on? Is it a reduction in force? Is it a group separation that wasn't really a group separation, right? A trickle out. Is it a situation where you have class claims or is it a collective action? What's the circumstances there? Where is it happening? Okay. If you have multiple states involved, you may have state-specific aspects to your sample forms that need to be in there to make them enforceable. You may want to call out specific employment laws. If you're Montana, for example, is not an at-will state, right? That's something that you want to address when you're dealing with a separation or a settlement document in that state. If you're dealing in California, you want to make sure you're complying with some of their carve-outs. So where is it happening? Why is it happening, of course? When? Right? Is it happening today? Is it happening next week? What is the timing vis-a-vis that person's employment history? Okay? Are they a 20-year employee? Did they start at the very beginning of the company when there were two employees and now you have 5,000? Okay? Is it happening right after a leave of absence? So timing is very important when you're looking at and designing a proper settlement agreement. And then, of course, how is it happening? Is it going to be a surprise? Is it a friendly departure? Is it something that's going to be non-controversial? Is it going to be very painful? Is it going to have some potential PR consequences or other sort of disruptive corporate consequences? So if you're looking at the five W's and the H, then you've asked all those questions. Sometimes you could ask these questions or you just automatically know them in 5 or 10 minutes. Okay. Sometimes it may take a little bit longer. Okay. So when you get that email or you get that call, hey, this is going on. We need you to take a look at this. This needs to be resolved in the next hour. Try to get 5 minutes out of somebody where you can ask some of these questions if you don't know the answers already. Another way to look at how do you know which one of these things are important? Okay, is this analysis that I try to do whenever I'm advising someone about a situation. What do you want to happen here? What are your wants in this situation? And what are you worried about? Okay, sometimes those things are just the converse statement of what a situation is. But generally, every action, whether it's a corporate action or just an individual human action, is motivated by desire or fear or both. Okay, so if you're in a really big hurry, you can say, who is this person? Okay, it's the CTO. Okay, that's a big deal. What do we want from this person? Well, we need a month of transition assistance because we are changing computer systems, and we need this person to oversee these projects before they go. Okay, all right, that's a helpful thing to know when you're designing what to do with their separation agreement. If it's a hot piece of litigation, if it's been covered in the press, what do you want to happen? Do we want a mutual statement of resolution? Are we worried about that person being a revolving door plaintiff? Okay, all of those kinds of wants and fears, a lot of times you can get down to the bottom of it when you ask your client, you know, what do you want and what are you worried about? We generally like to think, well, it's money, okay? We want money or we, you know, are willing to pay money and we want a release, okay? We fear litigation. But there's a lot more things involved in a really good wants and fears analysis and that's where we're going to go next. So if you've got asking all these questions. Who's involved? What's going on? Where is it happening? What's the timing? How's it all going to go down? All of these questions, no matter what stage of litigation you're at, whether you're at the EEOC stage, whether you're 2 years in and you've already had your mediation and you're on the courthouse steps, all of these questions can be asked, and the answers are going to be different, as are the answers to this type of an analysis. Okay. But when you're considering what are the kinds of things that we need to ask about when we're resolving a problem within an agreement, okay, within a document. Oh, and if any of you are following along in the paper, this is not tracking the paper really at all. Just know that that's in there, and there's a lot of lists of things and checklists and points you can look at. But I tend to go off script when I do my slides. First thing to ask, no matter which side of the dispute you're on, is does this employer have EPLI? Do they have Employment Practices Liability Insurance? Okay. This is less relevant, obviously, in a separation agreement situation because you probably don't have a live dispute. Okay. But if there has been a demand, if there is, you know, a player in here to be incorporated, this is a question you want to know the answer to. If you're representing the individual, you may not have access to this information, but if you ask it and someone refuses to answer it, you probably got your answer. So know that there's that there. Know that if you're, you know, wanting to resolve a case, a number of people decide to resolve them without reference to their EPLI because they don't want to, engage that deductible, or they don't want their rates to go up. They don't want to mess with it. They just want it resolved quickly and for a lower dollar amount. But, you know, if you get too far down the stage of litigation, you may not have that EPLI coverage anymore. Okay, so make sure you ask that question, since, as I think most of the people in here know, it's a lot more common than it was 10 or 15 years ago.